Take your Bibles now, if you will, turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, second to last chapter, chapter 27. We'll be reading verses 37 to verse 34. Acts chapter 27. We'll begin reading in verse 37. We'll read all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 44. Acts chapter 27. I'll begin reading on verse number 37. You'll join me on verse 38 and so on. The Bible says in Acts 27:37, "And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosened the rudder bands, and hoisted up this mainsail to the wind, and made a toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldier counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we've enjoyed being in your house today. Lord, we've enjoyed the fellowship with your people. We've enjoyed, Lord, the singing of your songs. Lord, we've enjoyed your man of God preaching your truth. And tonight, Lord, here we are again, Lord, gathered around the table, Lord, with your truth once again set before us, Lord, hungry and needing something afresh and anew tonight. Lord, please use our pastor, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, tonight, do something special in our lives. Lord, remind us of who you are. Lord, remind us of who we are and what we can do through you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Here in Acts 27 is just a very unique story. I want to take it, I want to kind of tell it, I want to illustrate it, and then I'm going to teach you something for just a few minutes. And I want to help you tonight. I guess, a little way, this style-wise, and not that I preach differently every service, but this is a little bit more of a Sunday morning flavor of a sermon, maybe, but one that I think that we all need, especially at this time of the year. Paul has been in jail, and what will be for his last time he'll be in jail. He's facing death. He's facing his head being chopped off. And they want to take him to Rome from where he has been so that he can stand before Caesar himself. Paul knows his end is near. Now, it's late in the season to set forth by ship. You find that if you read earlier in the chapter, Paul is arguing with them, saying, "Hey, look, I'm not afraid to die, but if you take off, it's not going to end well." Basically, it was the end of hurricane season. You see the words Euroclydon, which is the same as hurricane for us, or it would be the very equivalent of. But the authorities said, "We're taking you anyway," and they load up a ship with 276 people and set sail. If you know anything about setting sail in a storm, that's not fun. My dad and I went deep sea fishing one time out off the coast of South Carolina. We went about 50, 60 miles offshore. It was raining. We had 12-foot waves. Half the day you were looking at the water, and the other half of the day you were looking at the sky. It was like this all day long. And let me tell you, there were people feeding fish. They were chumming for us, and I won't tell you, I didn't lose mine, but we won't go any farther with that. God tells Paul, though, that the ship is going to crash, but he says, "Paul, let everybody know that nobody's going to die. If they listen to you, no one will die." Sure enough, we read here in Acts 27 They could see land, but they couldn't get to it real well. They didn't know where they were. They were just going to drive the ship in and hopefully hit land somewhere. And as they started to go in, they hit a shallow spot. And the Bible says that they ran the forefront of the ship aground. But the back part of the ship was where two parts of the sea came together, and it just ripped the ship apart. The front end was stuck, and the back end was getting ripped apart. Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of places I'd rather be than stuck in a ship that's falling apart. That just doesn't sound like anything good to me. I'd rather go down in an airplane crash, because at least I know I'm going to die without suffocating. It might be a long fall, but if I hit, it's all over, all right? It just isn't going to last as long. You know, that slow process just doesn't sound good to me. But Paul says, look, everybody, he said, by the way, they've been in this storm for 2 weeks. The Bible says they were in the 14th day of this storm. Can you imagine 2 weeks not knowing whether it was day or night? Being thrown around. He made them eat. Can you imagine eating after all of that? Imagine they were going to feed fish too. But anyway, they got their last bit of food in. They threw everything off the ship they could throw off to make it light enough to get into land. And then it breaks up. And the Bible says that those that could swim, they should go ashore. And those that couldn't, grab a hold of the broken board and broken pieces of the ship and float themselves in. Not everybody could swim. Not everybody was able to make it ashore by their own power, per se. Many of them grabbed a hold of broken pieces of the ship. And by the way, God told Paul that all 276 would make it to shore. We read in verse 44. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All 276 of them made it to land. Now, I want you to notice that even though Paul was sentenced to prison, and many of these were prisoners, he didn't stop others. He didn't stop helping people. Paul could have said, "Let's just all go down and get this over with." He said, "No, there's people to help. I may be facing death, but not all these people are." And he helped them get to shore. Paul was ready to die, but the others were not. And not all of them could swim. As a pastor, I see people who don't listen in life and end up on a broken boat. You preach as long as I have, and it's amazing. I'll preach on Sunday, and by Monday or Tuesday, somebody that sat in here that didn't listen to what I said has already messed up their life. You say, "What do you do, preacher?" Put them back together. Throw them a piece of broken board and say, "Come on back. Let's get you back to shore." They don't want to die, but they don't pay attention. When the crash comes, many of them don't know how to swim. Young people are very good about being very confident about life till they got to do something. Then it's surprising they have all the answers till they don't know what to do. When the crash comes, they're not sure how to swim. By the way, may I say this, in life it's not every man for himself. In the Christian life, it's how do we help everybody make it? The difference between the world and the church ought to be, it's not every man for himself in here. It's let's help everybody get ashore. Amen. Saved and lost. Yes. Godly and ungodly. Preach. Those that are righteous and those that are unrighteous. Yes. It's not a matter of let's just save the good people. If you look at this, most of these people were prisoners. Can I say something? Grab on a board and help somebody else to shore. May I say this as your preacher? I'm going to make sure Grace Baptist Church is a church that's got plenty of broken pieces of ship hanging around. We're going to welcome people that float in. The old ship may be stuck and broken, but we can get people to safety. You may be a prisoner on board ship, but safety awaits. You don't have to be destroyed in the wreckage of the ship. May I say this? Listen to somebody that's been through enough storms, you can make it ashore. It's scary. It's vicious. It's not going to be pleasant. Swimming in wet clothes is not fun. But may I say this? It's better than dying. I'd rather have wet clothes than be dead. You say, are you afraid to die, preacher? No, but I'm not ready for the next load yet. I don't have dying grace. It must mean I'm ready to live for a while. There's no shame if you survive by holding on to a broken piece or if you swam to shore. Do you know those that swam to shore weren't any more alive and any more saved than those that came in on a broken piece of the ship? Didn't matter how they got there safely. Thank God Grace Baptist Church is going to be known for accepting people that float in on broken pieces of the ship. We're going to exchange their broken pieces for security. We're going to exchange their broken boards for prosperity spiritually. We're not going to condemn you for holding on to a broken piece. You say, why? Most of us floated in the same way. Not many of us here are blue bloods, just so you know. Not many of us didn't have some broken pieces in the past. Not many of us made it ashore on our own accord. You see, we just want to help everybody get through the rest of it. Now, listen to me very carefully here. May I say this? Just because you come in floating on a broken piece of the ship doesn't mean we're going to stand you up and shame you in front of everybody either. Amen. Say, why? You made it. You're back. You made it. Praise God for it. Say, well, I did some bad things, preacher. Yeah, but you're safe on shore now. The ship's all broke. It doesn't matter. You're here now. Let's keep on going forward. Recently, while we were in Gatlinburg, we took a tour of the Titanic Museum there. It's one of my favorites there in the Gatlinburg area. What happened in Gatlinburg stays in Gatlinburg. But anyway, for the most part. But anyway, when we were there recently, I was reminded of a story, and I want to relay that story to you, and it applies so well to this. There was two preachers on board of the Titanic. One was a Baptist preacher. His name was John Harper. John Harper was from England. He was 39 years old. He had a six-year-old daughter and his sister traveling with him. They were, matter of fact, Brother Harper was leaving England to go preach for D.L. Moody at Moody Church in Chicago. He was going to preach a four-week revival meeting at Moody Church in downtown Chicago. D.L. Moody had been in his church there in England, and he was going back to preach for Brother D.L. Moody. Of course, that fateful night of April 14th, 1912, the ship went down. John Harper made sure that his daughter and his sister got on board a lifeboat. John Harper jumped shortly before the ship went all the way under. There were hundreds of survivors. Hundreds of people told stories of John Harper. John Harper personally jumped into the 28-degree water. You don't understand. If you've ever touched water that's colder than freezing, some of you have been there, you know what I'm talking about. After about 15, 20 seconds, if you put your hand in that water, it just starts curling up. I had two teenage boys that thought they were going to be tough, and they put their whole arm down in there. They lasted a minute and a half, and both of them for the next 30 minutes walked around groaning and almost crying. After a minute and a half, just their arm. You can't imagine what that temperature of water does to your body just immediately. John Harper jumped into the water and he started swimming person to person. And he started quoting Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." John Harper was winning people to Christ person to person to person to person. He said for over 40 minutes, John Harper swam in that water, seeing dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people saved before they perished in the water. People were sitting ashore, sitting on the life rafts, hearing John Harper, and people were getting saved in the life rafts. Untold scores of people saved. He looked at the last man and he said, "Sir, I'm about to go to heaven. Would you go with me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And John Harper slipped below the water, never to surface again. It is said, right before then, he took his life jacket off and gave it to a young man and told him to hang on. He said, "Go find a broken piece of the ship and just hold on." He said, "I won't make it, but you can. Just hold on." May I say something to you? When the storms come and the shipwreck comes, hold on to a broken piece of the ship. You don't have to go down. See, what is our ship, preacher? You have the ship of truth. You got the ship of the old King James Bible. Can I tell you something? You may wander from it, but someday you're going to need it and it'll come back to you. Trust me, it'll come back to you. Young people, you may think this old preacher's crazy and doesn't know what he's talking about. He's old fashioned and he doesn't know much, but one of these days you'll come coasting back on a broken piece of ship. Sometimes it's the ship of family. Whether it be your biological family or your church family. For some of us, our church family is closer than our biological family. And I get that. I really do. But may I say this? Hold on to the ship of family. If it's still sailing, hang on to a broken piece of it. It's okay. Maybe it's the ship of your church. I hope for many years to come and decades, and if the Lord tarries longer than that, I hope till Jesus comes, this church is a beacon, a ship where people can float to for safety.
Yes, sir.
I really do. Hang on to your walk with God. Folks, your walk with God is so important. I was teaching in my Sunday school class. I'm for family devotions. I'm for husbands and wives reading the Bible together and praying together. I'm for families reading the Bible and praying together. But if you don't personally walk with God, as all you do is read it together and pray together, you're not walking with God. You're really not. It is a personal walk with God. And as I said this morning, not everything's going to go right. Not everything in life goes right for the saved. If you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you to get it when it comes online. It'll help you. Maybe you just need to hold on to your the ship of your work ethic. You know, sometimes you don't need to change jobs. You just need to keep showing up to the one you got. I learned a long time ago, did you know no job is perfect? Because about time you show up, it becomes imperfect. There is no job that's perfect. He said, "Well, preacher, you work at church. You don't have anything to worry about." I'll stop there. I may enjoy the employees that I work with better than most, but there's still a lot of the work that I do that's not enjoyable. It's not all peaches and cream and spiritual mountaintops. It's spiritual battle and fighting hell and the devil himself. In Jefferson County, that's below the devil. That's the fuel for hell. You know, sometimes it's the ship of your friends. One of the reasons a church is important is so you have the right friends. You can say what you want, but you show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. You show me the sphere of influence around you that you call friends, and I'll show you what you are. Every time. I don't care if you're a teenager, I don't care if you're a child, I don't care if you're an adult, I don't care if you're a senior citizen. You show me who your sphere of friends are, I'll show you what you are. Say why? Because we will adapt to what our friends are so we fit in. That's why we ought to walk with God. I'd like to fit in with him. How about you? Sometimes it's the ship of good memories. You know that just because something was good in the past doesn't mean it's going to be the same in the future, but at least you have a good memory from the past. You know, memories from the past are not all bad. But guess what? Well, I wish they had the good old days. No, you don't. There ain't nobody in here that wishes you had an outdoor toilet anymore. Not a one of you. Especially when it's about 15 degrees outside and it's raining and snowing, or when it's about 100 degrees outside. You really don't want one then. There's not a person in here. You say, well, life was much simpler. Yeah, and you were much younger and didn't have as much going on in your life either. You see, everything in life changes. You can't have what was again, but you have the memory of what was. Well, I miss so-and-so. Well, there's a lot of people I miss in life. I was here early yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And I popped on a sermon of Brother Hiles. Man, I missed that old man. Missed his voice. Heard that voice, and I was just going to kind of use it for background for a minute. And I just said, okay, I'm going to take 10 minutes, and I'm just going to sit here and absorb. Man, I listened to him cut loose for a little while. I'm in my office. There's nobody in the building. It's 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in there. Come on, preacher. I mean, I sat on the platform for the stupid sermon. I've heard this sermon before. I didn't care. I took some time. I was talking to the Lord. I said, I know there's not necessarily days and nights there, but could you let Brother Hiles know I love him? Could you give him an extra good day today? Let him know I miss him. Say, you did that? Yeah. Thank God for the memory. Now, if he walks through that door right now, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I ain't sticking around to talk to him, just so you know. If I heard that voice, I know we're already in heaven, all right? But if I hear, hey, Brother Craig, I already know where I'm done, all right? I carried his casket. I know where he went, all right? He's not walking back through those doors. By the way, I wouldn't want him to. Do I wish I could spend time with him? Yeah, but good night. He's been in heaven since 18 years ago, 18 and a half years ago. Why would I want to bring him back here? He'd get put in jail. But we have those memories. Thank God for the good memories that we have. And by the way, don't dwell on the bad memories. Too many of you dwell on the wrong part of your memory. I got to go to point number two here. Are you ready? Don't hold on to what broke the ship apart. God didn't say hold on to the storm. He said hold on to the broken pieces of the ship. I really want to help you with this statement. Too many of you hold on to the storm. You don't hold on to the broken pieces of the ship. The storm of grief will not help you. The boards broken off from grief will help you. The storm of despair and depression is what broke you. Why do you want to hold on to it? Why do you go back to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you again desire to be in bondage? Why do we keep cycling back to the things that, because you're holding on to the storm, you're not holding on to the broken pieces to get ashore? You're holding on to the broken pieces, swimming back to the shipwreck. Can I tell you something? Get out of the shipwreck and get to shore. The storm of drugs and alcohol broke your ship. Why do you want to go back to it? The waves of disappointment crashed you. Why do you want to live there? The winds of disillusionment pushed you into the rocks. Why do you want to keep being disillusioned? The currents of friends who led you astray led you to destruction. Why do you want to hang around them again? Please don't get mad at me. I don't do Facebook. Don't know who does. Don't care. I'm not saying you're a filthy, vile sinner because you have it. I'm just saying this. I know this. I don't know many people that have Facebook that don't have friends on there that they shouldn't get rid of. Well, I just want to keep my finger on the pulse of things. Why do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of cancer? Why do you want to stay around things that are going to depress you and destroy you? Why do you want to know all the negatives? I don't live there. I get enough negative that comes to me. I don't need to live there. Your only hope is to swim or grab onto a broken piece of the ship and get to shore. Quit staying back with the storm. Too many people, they get to shore and say, well, I got this broken piece. I better go back to the ship and see what else is back there. And you swim right back into the mess that you just came out of. Can I tell you something? Holding on to what broke the ship isn't going to help your life. You wonder why you get depressed over and over and over and over and over again, because you keep doing the same things over and over and over and over again. Brother Mike, I live in my own little world, I guess, but it sure is a happy one. I don't know what's going on. I don't mess around with everybody else and all their other problems and everything else. I've got all I can handle right here. I don't need to worry about somebody else. They're the ones that call me for help. I didn't call them to find out if they need help. I haven't changed my phone number in 18 years. Guess what? They're still calling it. I don't know how they got it, but they still got it. I didn't keep theirs. They kept mine. Let them call. I'll help them. Yes. But I got enough going on here. I don't need to keep my finger in everybody else's business. Everybody doing okay? And I'm having fun. I'm going to say it. If you keep your face in the book, you wouldn't need Facebook as much. If most of you spent as much time in that book as you do on Facebook, you'd be surprised how your life would change. You might not be as depressed. You might not be as upset. Number three, I got to hurry. God specializes in taking broken things and turning them into something new. You know, I'm going to preach a sermon one day and I'm going to bring a giant recycling bin out. I think every church ought to have a blue bin for people. Why is it that we'll recycle everything but people? Now, I'm not talking about cutting parts off that don't work and throw it in there and recycling them, all right? That's a little weird. But why is it that in the church, if somebody does something wrong, we want to throw them away, but we'll recycle everything else? Well, they should have known better. Okay, you should know better than make a stupid statement like that. For you to make a statement like that means you know better too. They doing all right? Matter of fact, my Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God used a whale for Jonah. Imagine getting sucked down by a whale, living in a whale belly for 3 days and three nights, and then getting barfed up by a whale, and being 3 days journey away and making it in one day. You say, why? That whale was chasing me. That whale was coming after him. You know, if you don't want to go through naval lines, you might want to consider hanging on to a broken piece of the ship. You know, God takes your broken piece to build a wonderful future. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 very quickly. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. Very familiar passage. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May I say this before we look down our Pharisaical snoot at somebody? Maybe we ought to look back at our past and see where we came from. Before you think you have arrived, let's look and see how far the trip's been for you. You say, well, I knew better when I was their age. Yeah, but look at your life compared to theirs. please don't get mad at me. You old timers are getting pretty frustrated with some of the younger generation, but none of them knew what a farm even was to work on. They didn't have those things. So don't get too frustrated. You didn't grow up in the cities like these kids did that didn't have to get up and do the things that you did at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, they should have. Well, they can't. It's just not there. But I agree they should have good character. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but be a little patient. Not everybody has the experience you have. Not everybody had the opportunities that you had. Can I tell you something? God can take your broken family and give you a great one. I hesitate in doing this. But I'll promise you, probably 9 out of 10 families in this room right now, divorce has crept into your families. Guarantee it. I'd be shocked if it wasn't 90%. When some of you old gray hairs were growing up, if you heard of divorce, it was a rarity. 60% of all marriages end in divorce in America today. Let's do it. How many of you in this room have had, not necessarily you personally, but it may be, or somebody in what you would call your close immediate family have had divorce creep in? Raise your hand. Okay, look around. Keep your hands up. There's not a half dozen people in this room that doesn't have their hand up. You go back 50 years ago, you didn't have that. I'm not mad at anybody. We live in a different generation. So quit judging this generation by yours. Some of you are destroying this generation because you won't let them float in on a broken piece of their ship. You expect it to be your ship. God can make everything new. Boy, that's good. You know that God took the son of a neighborhood drunk who beat his mother to be the pastor of the world's largest church. His name happened to be Dr. Jack Hiles. Grew up in poverty during the Depression. His dad had a little general store and lost it during the Depression and turned to liquor. Lost his dad. When he was a teenage boy, 17 years old, he went to a bar in downtown Dallas, told his dad that God had called him to preach. His dad took him, met him on the street corner. His dad pushed him up against the wall, about knocked him out, threw him on the floor, threw him out in the middle of the street, started kicking him and started cursing him and said, "You blankety blank son of a blank 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 son of mine, if you're going to go build a church, go build the world's largest church, you blankety blank preacher." 1972, First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, was declared the world's largest Sunday school. He ran back to his office. He said, "Daddy, I obeyed you." I guess if you could have a broken past like that and still do something for God, God could use our bus kids. God could use us. God can take your broken finances and with counsel and humility and hard work can turn you into something successful again. And yet some of you decide to stay in your constant cycle of swirling down in debt because we're too proud to get help. God can take your broken heart and allow the Bible and the Holy Spirit to heal it so you can love on those who need it most. Folks, sometimes you have to make that bad and that hurt into something good. Boy, I want to preach this morning's sermon again so badly. It's not God's job to make it good. It's your job to make it good. Quit blaming God. Blame yourself where the blame begins. Turn it into something good. When he was 4 months old and on life support, we decided we wouldn't let people hurt. If we could at all help and be there, wouldn't let him hurt alone. Say, "Preacher, why'd you rush out of here at 10 after 12 this morning?" Because I had a couple people in the hospital that were hurting. Made a promise to God about, 27, 28 years ago that I wouldn't let people hurt by themselves. Still keeping it. Do I want to go through it again? But I've kept that promise thousands and thousands and thousands of times. You see, there's people out there who have special needs, children that need help. There's special needs adults out there that need help. I long for the day where we get a special needs ministry going here. It's going to happen, just so you know. I believe in helping single ladies and divorced ladies, and I believe in that. I believe in all those things. Can I tell you something? Let's help them all. God can take your broken heart and use it. God can take those broken relationships of the past and build great relationships now because you know the mistakes that you've made. And some of you, the broken relationship isn't your fault, it's somebody else's. So, well, I raised kids and they didn't turn out right. That's not always your fault. Did you know once they get to a certain age, they make their own decisions? And you need to let them live with those decisions and then quit bailing them out. Well, I couldn't teach Sunday school. My kids didn't turn out like your kids did. Maybe you ought to be glad. No. guess what? That doesn't negate you from doing that. Your children have the right to make decisions just like everybody else does. You've accepted the world's philosophy that it's your fault if the kid goes bad. Guess what? I disagree with that. That's not biblical. That's humanistic. Well, maybe I didn't do something exactly right. Maybe you did, and they just rebelled against it, and they ran the wrong direction. That's their fault, not yours. Quit beating yourself up and help somebody else. Help them bus kids. Get into a Sunday school class and help. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that divorced people aren't trash to God? I know churches that believe that if you're divorced, you shouldn't even be you can't even be a Christian. You can't be a part of their church. Well, bless God, you can here. Amen. You can't pastor, you can't be a deacon. Past that, everything's wide open territory. Right. I find nowhere in Scripture it doesn't say the divorced person can't win people to Christ. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a divorced person can't teach Sunday school, can't sing, can't be part of the music ministry, can't be part of anything. The only thing God said divorced people can't do is pastor the church and be a deacon. That's it. Guess what? Everything else, it's wide open territory. Boy, there's so much I want to say. I got to quit. Let me finish with this statement here. God can take those of you who are hurt spiritually by a spiritual leader and help you be a better spiritual person. I'm going to say something very carefully here. Some of you have been raped spiritually by a spiritual leader and forsaken. And not all the same person or anything else, but there's a lot of people in here been hurt by somebody who was supposed to be a spiritual leader. Guess what? Just because they didn't make good decisions doesn't mean God's a crook. Means they're a sinner, just like you are. Now, I crack up. We get this mentality. One bad thing happens, and then everybody in that profession is crooked. You know, one builder didn't build something right, so you can't trust any builder in the world. One doctor makes one mistake on you, and by the way, they're not God. Then all doctors go to the booger man. I don't believe that way. I'm only married to one woman. It doesn't mean that the rest of the women ought to go to the devil. It doesn't mean I have to hate every other woman in the world. Everybody understand that? You see, too many of us fall into that mentality. And just because somebody who was spiritual let you down doesn't mean that God is the one that did it. Can I tell you something? They're human and they're sinners too. There's a lot of preachers I've had to step back from. I don't think they're bad people. They're just running in circles I won't run in, and I just kind of step back and let them run around me. You say, why? Because I don't want to fall into the trap of what they're falling into. But if they called me and they need help, I'll help them. You see, I'm not going to let somebody that has disappointed me keep me from walking with the Lord. Then I've let the devil win. I don't care if they share my same last name. Doesn't matter. Say, but that's family. Yeah, and so are you. This is the family of God. We share the same name, and it's Jesus. Sometimes you just need to hold on to an old broken piece of the ship. Might be a verse, might be a passage, but just keep on holding on. It'll get you to shore, and then you can read the rest of it. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I want to keep going. I won't. As long as this old man is behind this pulpit, this is going to be a church that accepts people floating in on broken pieces of the ship. Amen. Maybe somebody here tonight needs to grab a hold of a broken piece of ship. Maybe you need to decide to quit swimming back to the wreckage. How about we just make it to shore and keep going forward?